Acts chapter 27. I'm not going to preach Ceylon, but I wish I could have preached it, but I didn't. But I'm not going to preach Ceylon. Acts chapter 27. While you're turning there, we're glad to have the Adams family with us. Vandalia Christian Tabernacle. We appreciate them coming and fellowshipping with us tonight. So when you shake hands with them tonight, that's Adams family. All right? Brother Barry, are you ready? 27, 27, 28 and 29 and 30.
Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 30. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen being that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and wished for a day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Barry. I want to preach to you tonight, God being my helper, for a few minutes on shallow water. Shallow water. The reading of this account of Paul's voyage to Rome as a prisoner, its accompaniment by the contrary winds and the dashing waves and the time of darkness, the many days without so much as a gleam of light or a bright beam of the sun or at night, any kind of reflection of the stars or moon. It's just one of those things of life that teach us that there's always a contrast. Here in this contrast, we see the beautiful picture of the voyage of life on the sea. And since it is on the sea, we can expect storms. And we have under our personage the great ship of Zion, the old ship of Zion, and it is too, in this time, on a maiden voyage towards our promised goal of home. You will find in this experience that Paul tells us through the writing of St. Luke that we can land on the shore of sweet deliverance. When I'm reminded of this, I always think of songs and some unfamiliar songs actually to us. But there's one that was written by Reverend R.P. Johnson. He called it, His Breath is in the Sail. And the song is pictured as the launching of a sailboat, and the tempest arising and bringing great distress and despair. The last verse is a joyous verse which gives us our hope. It simply says, look, pilgrims, our landing where angels are standing on the harbor of transparent gold. The beauties of glory surpass every story that mortals have dreamed or ever told. What joy and what rapture as heaven we capture by sailing through stormiest gales. They fear not the riding of forth, for God's hand was guiding and His breath was fanning the sails. That's the kind of consolation you get when the kind of rough sailing we go through in life. Look, pilgrims are landing where angels are standing on harbors of transparent gold. The beauties of glory surpass every story that mortals have dreamed of or told. What joy and what rapture as heaven we capture by sailing through stormiest gale. They feared not the riding, for God's hand was guiding and His breath was fanning the sail. You see, that's the way that we get home. We will not ask God not to give us a stormless sea, we will just ask God to fill our sail with His presence. 2 weeks is a long time to have this fearful experience. It's no wonder these brave men of the merchant ranks had fear. They despaired of their lives. They despaired in such a way that the appetite left them, and they refused to eat, for they looked without hope for one gleam of the sun, just one more view of the moon or the stars, just to see it in its magnificent majesty. Just one twinkling of a single star would have brought hope into a hopeless case. But there was no hope, because they could not see any of that. You can hear them sigh, "We're finished." You can hear these men in an unguarded moment, these bronze, muscular men of the sea who had ventured out before and had been through storms before and had made a living walking the deck of a ship. But here, you can see them. Their eyes are wet with tears because they have no hope nor thought of hope that they will ever hold their wife or their children to their chest again. All hope was gone. That's a desperate situation. And to have that desperate situation for 14 days is more than what we can ever understand. I hope I'm never on a ship like that. I don't want to be on a ship like that. I'm not a hero. You might be. I don't know that I could have tucked 14 days of being battered. I don't know that I could have done that. We know that they went through it, and if it hadn't have been for one man on the ship, they may not have been able to endure the strain and the stress of that voyage. But one man, when everything was taken from them, stood up with just one word, and he said, "Be encouraged. I've heard from God. And God told me I've got an appointment at Rome, so now I know that it's going to be just as He has told me. I'm going to Rome. Whether on this ship or on another, doesn't matter. I know that my destiny is Rome." Sometimes we have to have faith when we're in those situations, when we have prayed and it seems like our prayer has gone nowhere, when we have endured until we can't hardly endure no longer, when we're walking a stormy sea and we can't see any rescue vessels anywhere in sight, and with all of this night and day again and again, you will remember that only those sweet words from that angel to Paul saved the day. God said, "You're going to Rome." And on that, Paul hung all of his hope. And it was a strong enough rope that he pulled all the 200 and some souls into the same hoping situation as he was in, simply because he said, "I know that I am His. And I know I have served Him. And I know that He has sent me this message. And therefore, I believe God." You and I will be brought down. We will be brought down to the place where sometimes there's nothing to stand on, but I believe God. We may not understand, because Paul was still rocked by the same storm. When he said, "I believe God," the storm was still raging. When he said, "I believe God," the ship was still breaking up underneath him. When he said, "I believe God," men still didn't believe. But Paul believed God.
Right.
You see, that makes all the world of difference when a man puts his faith solely in God. If Jesus be with you, you can make it. You remember Peter, don't you? The stormy sea, Jesus came walking on it, and Peter said, "Jesus, if it be you, bid me come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And in a moment, Peter was walking on the waves that had terrified him. The difference was the presence of the Lord in that storm. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the difference in life's voyage. The presence of the Lord in any storm makes it endurable. The presence of the Lord in any situation makes it doable. The presence of the Lord in anything will give you the edge that it takes for you to keep your eye off of the storm and on the harbor. You see, it is in this way the Lord who walks on the water can hush the sea. And he does that. And the Lord who walks on the sea can get into a boat and immediately it's at shore. The Lord is the difference in every situation. I wish I had a church that believed in helping the preacher preach. You see, it's one of the greatest things that you ever will give your heart to is faith in God. Because once you have faith, you will lose your fear. All of a sudden, Paul is sitting on a rocking deck trying to eat. Can you imagine trying to drink any water or eat any bread, or you're constantly moving back and forth, and that is easy compared to the violence that ship was rocked under. It was not a rocking chair he was sitting in. It was a storm-tossed ship, and he was trying to catch a bite to eat to get these other men to eat. And Paul could do it through Christ because he had now anchored his soul in the unsinkable Word of God. And there are things that you need to understand are still immovable. Heaven may disappear. The earth may be removed. But his Word is forever settled. Amen. There's some things that are impregnable. They just cannot be penetrated to find a crevice or a weak spot. There's something that has proved itself through the storms of life, and that's the incalculable Word of God. The men were frightened, and he said to them, "Be of good cheer." He looks like a madman. Be of good cheer. 14 days, rock like this, storm, peal of thunder, wind, waves beating, boat tossing. Here's a little man standing on the deck trying to smile and say, "Be of good cheer." How can a man stand on a ship that's going to sink and fall apart and say to somebody else, "Be of good cheer, brother"? Because he has faith in God.
Right.
How many can say faith in God? Faith in God makes all the difference. Faith in God makes every difference. Hallelujah. He had a smile on his face. They had not seen a smile. He had a smile on his face that said, "Be of good cheer." The strain had not been too much for Paul because Paul knew how to pray. He talked, and it was completely a talk that they didn't understand. But Paul talked his talk because he had walked his walk. And therefore, when you really walk your walk, you can talk your talk and you don't sound like you're foolish. These men believed this little Jew as he stood there and be of good comfort. That's where it's at. Despairing's got to go when somebody can put something worth believing in front of you. The strong ship, you know, they were not because they were courageous. This crew was as affrighted as any crew. They were not despairing, not because of the strong ship. The ship was falling apart. And not because they saw sun, moon, or stars, but they were still hidden. Paul explains it this way. "There stood by me," and that's where it is. That's where faith will always do. Faith will always stand by you. Amen. And when you have faith in God, God will stand by you. "There stood by me this night the angel of God." And the angel didn't come just to stand. The angel came to talk. "Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar." Paul says, "That's enough for me. That's enough. That's all I needed. I know I'm going to make it. I must be." There it is. Thou must be brought. Thou must be brought. You're not going to swim, Paul. You're going to be brought there. Somebody's going to see that you get there. Somebody's going to make the appointment for you and keep it. You're going to go to Rome. Paul said, "That's enough. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." That's what faith does. Even as. Just the same as. Storms still going. Men still worried. Circumstances unchanged. But all of a sudden there is a change. After Paul speaks, about midnight, they are sounding. and the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. It sounded different to them. All of a sudden, in the midst of a storm, something sounded different. We'd better see just how deep this water is. And they began to cast their depth finder out, and they indicated a change in the depth and in the position. And they feel like there was an approach of something. And they were approaching, they could not tell what. And they probably gave a degree of relief in knowing something has changed. Paul said, be of good cheer. Then all of a sudden at midnight, something begins to happen. We're often told that before the sun breaks, the darkest part of the night is before it comes up. From midnight to dawn, darkest part of the night. But it is here, in this darkest part of the night, that you feel, as they feel, there is finally now breaking a hope, though the storm is still raging, though the ship is still breaking apart, though we are still not understanding what's going to happen, yet there is something happening. A great move, a spiritual move. God has pointed them towards a shore. The shipmen measured, and the sounding line determined the depth of the water was found to be 20 fathoms, 120 feet of water underneath them. Just a little while before, they couldn't get to the bottom of it. And now they're bouncing their sounding line off of the bottom saying, 20 fathoms. And they wait a while, and they go at it again. And they go down to that next sounding, and they were 15 fathoms. That means 90 feet of water. And they begin to say, we are getting into shallow water. Yep. Now they go from the peril of the deep to the peril of the rocks. They're caught between the deep and the rock, the hard place and the rock. So what do? You cast out four anchors to make sure it doesn't go anywhere, because you don't know what's on your right side. You don't know what's on your left side. You don't know what's behind you, and you don't know what's in front of you. So you won't want to go nowhere. Four anchors they cast out. They cast them out to hold themselves off of the rocks. Why the concern for the rocks? Because a rock can break a ship up. The storm may twist it apart, but rocks can sink it. Can I get an amen? So there it is. They don't want to be dashed against the rocks, so they cast out four anchors to hold them. And lifetime always needs four anchors. Are you listening to me tonight? There's four anchors that you need. The first one is the Word of God. Always don't settle for nothing less. There's only one infallible thing that you possess, and that's the Word of God. The time has never wore a hole in it. The devil's never blasted a hole in it. Time has proved it to be immovable, impregnable, stable, reliable, hasn't it? Has the Word of God ever failed you? No, and it will not. The inspired plan and purpose of God for you is revealed in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth may pass away, but His Word will not. Anchor your soul in something. You don't want to go on the rocks? Anchor yourself. You don't want to go back to the storm? Anchor yourself. You're caught between the storms of life and the rocks, the hidden rocks. Sometimes they don't even show themselves. They're just right there under the crest of the water. And if you are not careful, you'll knock the hull right out of the ship. Amen. Prayer is communion between man, God, and man. And the results of prayer are sometimes given to man speedily, and sometimes they're not so speedily. But they're like news from a far country. It sure makes your soul feel different. All of a sudden you prayed, and now there's a change. Now you've had God's word, And the first thing that God does to confirm his word is to let them know right now you're 90 feet from the bottom. Not very comforting, is it? 90 feet. But they was maybe a mile to the bottom. Now it's only 90 feet. We're in shallow water. Something's ahead of us. There's a shoreline out there somewhere. There's something out there. That's hope. Hope is the other anchor. Something in front of me. Something over me. Something underneath me that will not let me go. Something that pulls at me. Something that tugs at me. Something that makes me say, I can make it. I can take this. I can do that. Can I get an amen? All of these things just happen because we need the anchors to hold us. We need prayer. We need the word of God. We need hope. And only hope can bring joy. For joy is that part of us that must have. It's a must have. A Christian cannot endure without joy. That's why Paul and Silas could sing at the midnight hour in the Philippian jail and sing it until the jailhouse rocked. Sing it until the prisoners heard. Sing it until the doors come on hinge. Because when you get joy in Pentecostal singing, that's the biggest mistake the devil made, was putting two holiness preachers in the same cell. You're either going to have a riot or revival. They're not going to settle for anything less. So he made a mistake, and it paid off. They didn't stage a jailbreak. Amen. The black preacher said God just got so enthused with the singing that he began to tap his foot. And the harder God tapped his foot getting into their singing, the more it jarred the jail until God jarred every door off its hinge, just keeping music with Paul. So I want to tell you tonight, when your darkest hour comes, hope and joy will see you through it. Don't give up on hope. Hope will never embarrass you. There's always hope. As long as there's God, there's hope. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's hope. As long as you can feel, there's hope. And you can reach out and feel and have more hope. Amen. Hope will always be your constant thing. Hope is a strong anchor. If you don't want to move, hope. Hope in God. Have hope in your church. Have hope in your prayer. Have hope in your Bible reading. Have hope in everything that God keeps you. Hope is an anchor that will hold you when everything else seems to fail you. Hope will keep you alive. Lose all hope will guarantee your crash against the rocks. We'll assure you of safety against destructions if you'll only hope. God honors men who hope. Amen. Cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Paul got them to 90 feet by just getting up and saying, be of good cheer, I believe God. All of a sudden, 90 feet. By the next day, they're on the shore. See, God does not always tarry. 14 days in a storm is one thing, but once God wants you on shore, he starts working just like clockwork, and before long, you'll be on the shore. Come on, somebody say amen. It's just a matter of hoping that God will start sooner. Amen. That's why I hope God starts sooner. I'm hoping God will start right now. Amen. He may not. He may not come when I want him. But I hope he will. Don't you? When bad news comes crashing in, hope is my umbrella that keeps the rocks from beating my head. Amen. When I need something to put my periscope up out of the stormy sea, I put hope into action. And I try to look above the storms I'm going through. When I need a song in the night, I have hope that there's a land that's fair. You see, when I need a companion to hold my hand, hope just takes over. I've fought a lot of years, 48 years, but I've got it by hope. I was telling the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, ever since I've been saved, when I got saved, I believed you were coming. I've waited a long time, Lord. I've waited a long time, but I have hope that it could be this year. The same thing that drove me my first year and my second year and my third year has now kicked in gear and working in my 48th year. I still believe Jesus is coming. I have hope. What is hope doing? Keeping me off of the rocks. I don't want to lose my faith, so I cast an anchor of hope out. Hope that God will honor His word, and I know He will. Don't you? Our measuring line that we have today is in a different kind of a sea, more complex. We throw out the measuring line of prophecies of the scripture, and we try to deem just where we're at in this spiritual situation of this stormy end time sea. And oh, what an end time sea storm it is. Have you ever seen how the storm clouds are gathering? Who would have ever thought that America would have gave her nod to abortion? Well, that's a stormy situation. That's innocent blood. You can't get no innocent, more innocent than that blood. That's innocent blood. That's sinless blood. Those little babies have done nobody no wrong. They didn't have no enemies. They just are not wanted. And all of a sudden, America, she got blood on her hands from innocent babes. That makes God angry. And the storms are rolling towards us. Amen. Then we take God out of our government. Now we can't say Jesus at a high school commencement prayer. There's a lot of storms that are brewing. And all of a sudden when we see this storm coming, it's end time. So what do we do when we need it? We cast out the four anchors, amen, and we begin to pull out our line to test and see where we're at. Times that you cannot even remember that these prophecies meant one thing to us. You see, it first started that we could feel the first thump of our depth finder in 48. All of a sudden, in 48, we know that the Jews, which had not been given a homeland, were given one in a day. And a nation became a nation in one day. In one day's time, Israel became a nation. Again. Amen. Are you helping me? We knew nothing about atomic energy. We knew nothing about nuclear energy. We knew nothing about a far cloud that could wipe out a city. We knew nothing about a pillow of smoke that went up in the air, thousands of feet up in the air, blossomed out in horrible destruction. We knew nothing about that, but now it's a common occurrence. Even little nations are now rattling the saber of nuclear energy, saying, we can reach you. We can put one of these in your home. And men's hearts are failing them for fear of looking at things that are coming. Oh, you need an anchor. You see, someone is calling himself now constantly Christ. We never heard of an Antichrist until just here in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Antichrist are now more than what we can ever count. Someone calling himself that doesn't even mean anything anymore. But then there's the chariots. I always coming over that hill there in Franklin, coming down towards the valley and up the others, always coming home from preaching in the South on 75, I think of this old prophecy right here, that there will be, Nahum said, that there will be chariots jostling one himself, torches that may run like torches and run like lightning. And when you see them coming towards you, just one long streak of light. And when you turn and watch them go away from you, it's just a bunch of little torches going down the road. And I think, oh, Nahum, you was right on it, boy. But you couldn't fathom that. That wasn't even for your day. But now when I throw my line out, I bump it. It's there. There's a rock there. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Peter calls it a sure word of prophecy. That's the foretold events of the scripture that point out to us where we're at in this approaching of the shallow waters. God has arranged a schedule. He's right on time. Do you know where you're at? Do you know what this shallow water means? Do you understand? We had better do some soundings. We had better find out where we're at. Amen. Jude talks about this insincerity of the ministry in our day. Throw it out there. Look at the preachers. Look at them. And this is what he says of them. The low-level sincerity among the ministry, it predicts that they will go in the way of Cain, run greedily after the heir of Balaam, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. He calls them spots in your feast of charity, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Jude, amen. That's a good sounding. This is the last days. We're in shallow water. Jude also quotes Enoch, the seventh from Adam. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, God. Right. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having man's person in admiration because of advantage. Amen, Jude. Good preaching, Enoch. It fits our day. I can make my line hit the bottom of that. Amen. The tendency towards apostasy, the great falling away, is upon us. Men are not falling away from church. They fill stadiums now. But they're falling away from the truth. There's a famine in the land for truth. Amen. But Enoch said, behold, the Lord cometh.
Yes,
do you hear it? Look, the Lord cometh. Don't look at what they're doing around you. Look on the horizon. The Lord's coming. Why are we sounding? Why are we trying to get a reading? Why are we trying to determine if we're coming close to the land? It's because, my friend, we're in shallow water. And it's treacherous. You hit a rock, you go down. The Lord explains the moral standards of the last day in Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. We need someone to remind us that the moral standards of America are horrible. Do you know that the first word of prophecy spoken to a Pentecostal movement was to us, us Pentecostal people, was that, watch Russia. Do you remember that? That started, that prophesying of that started in the early 30s. Watch Russia. Before Russia ever become communistic. Before they ever become a world power, the Holy Ghost was saying to us, watch Russia. For fascism and Nazism would be swallowed up of communism. Watch Russia. That sounding is older than I am. But it doesn't mean that it was read wrong. It means that we're living in that day when we'd better keep our eye on Russia, because Russia's coming out of the north and she's coming down to the Middle East. And when she comes, God's going to put a hook in his jaw and he's going to do a great work all of a sudden. And we have been warned for years. Look out, shallow water. Watch the rocks.
Amen.
We've escaped the sea, but now we're in danger of the rocks. Let down your sounding rod. Let it down. Test your position. Find out just where you stand at in these closing days. I know you get tired of hearing it. The latest prophecies and the time of horizon are developing. It's coming right out of Europe now. We have watched the formulation of a United States of Europe. We have watched the common market develop. We are watching the euro chase the dollar and may overtake the dollar and become the world currency.
Yes, sir.
You've seen it. But you didn't sound, you didn't know. Yeah, watch out, you're in shallow water. We're heading to a coastline. We're coming near somewhere, and we're headed that way and cannot turn our ship around. We need anchors to hold us to the breaking of the day so we can see what's on the horizon. Amen. All of this, tribulation along with the Antichrist is just right out there. This is a day of preparation. Time seems to be running out for our dispensation. The prophetic scriptures serve as a time gauge for the ages. Jesus points out two promises before he went away. First he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Second, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there ye may be also." Number one, the Holy Ghost has come.
Amen.
Have you sounded it? Throw your rock out there, tie the string on it, see, get the reading. We're in shallow water. It's been here for 2,000 years. The Holy Ghost has come. Lives are being blessed. Just as surely as Jesus is soon to return, the church will realize a glorious landing away from the storms of life. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We wish for the day. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest they should be fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I'm wishing for the day. My anchor holds. I said, my anchor holds. I've not lost my mind. I've not lost my way. I've not lost my blessing. My anchor holds, but my heart is wishing for the day. I'm tired of the danger of the rocks. I'm tired of the pitiful danger of the rocks. I'm in shallow water, danger everywhere around me. Rocks are hidden. I can't see them. I don't know where they're at. It's still dark, but the dawning of a brand new day is coming. A dawning that will bring me to the shore. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Brother Benny, what do you got for a sedative? What can I take to calm down? Wish for the day and cast your anchors out. Hold, my brother, hold. As the old timers used to do that prophesying, they said, hold, brother, hold, hold. I say and hold. Amen. Well, we're got the same Holy Ghost, but the same Spirit of God speaks tonight and says, anything, 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 hold on, anything, be prepared. Stay out of the rocks. Stay out of the rocks. Be patient and wait for the soon coming of the Lord is at hand. 1964, that Holy Ghost spoke the first time. After I got saved, I heard it speak. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It put holy fear in my soul that day. And I've never got over it. I know he's coming. And I know it will be soon. I have cast my anchors. I am sure the dawning is happening. And I am looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ. You put the boat into the sea, you're going to hit the rocks. It would have done them no good. They thought they'd make their escape. They'd only got upon the rocks. And those souls would have been lost. If the devil could have got some of those in that boat, he could have disproved Paul. He could have taken away that sure prophecy that all souls I will give to you. So Paul said, if they don't abide on this ship, then they're all going to be lost. Hallelujah. How many know God's word? Sure. But you got to obey it. So they cut the boat and let it fall. And all of a sudden, the next day, they're on the shore. And the head count is sure. Every one of them is there. Because God's word cannot fail. Take another sounding. Let's see how close we are to the shore. Take another sounding. I know it's shallow water. I'm out of the deep. I'm almost home. I'm almost out of the storm. I'm almost out of the rocks. All I'm waiting for is for, hey, I'm waiting for the sure coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody ought to shout amen. Oh, shallow waters are treacherous. Stay on the ship. Shallow waters are just a decoy for rocks. Cast your anchor. Abide in the ship. The morning's coming. How many know the morning's coming? The morning's coming, bright and fair. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be to see the morning. Hallelujah. If you haven't done any sounding, you need to. Be persuaded yourself. You know things are different. I've heard it from the young. I've heard it from the old. They say, it's just not like it used to be. Of course it's not. We're nearer the shore than we've ever been. Different sound, different feeling. We're nearing the shore. Time is now mostly behind us. And a few more weary days. And heaven breaks beautiful before us. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let's stand. Sister Sutherland. I didn't preach as good as Brother Gary's sail on, but I didn't borrow his message neither. I just went behind this, picked up the rocks. There's your danger. Do you know it? You know where we've lost more of our young people at than anywhere else? It's not been to alcohol. It's not been to drugs. You know where we've lost them to? Rocks. Just rocks. Hidden rocks. And they hit him. And he went down. Stay in the ship. The safest part of it all. You hear the ropes moan and groan as the ship is steadied by the anchors. Trust them. Trust them. They're not going to snap. God said, abide in the ship.
Right.
Our moorings may sound like they're not going to hold us, but they will. Stay in the ship. For all around the ship are the shallow rocks that you're going to hit and go down. Stay on the ship. Morning's coming. You've heard my voice before. I will not weary you with it. But I say to thee, because the time is where it's at, I will not speak much. When I used to speak, I was quite content to speak with you. But your life has now moved over into Noah's day and Lot's day. They didn't have ear. They would not hear. They would not pay attention. They were so bound up in what they were and how they lived that they had no mind. They had no spirit for it. So I did not trouble them. There was only one voice in the day of Noah. There was only the visiting angels in Lot's day. I say to thee, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For I have gone away that I may come again to receive you. Let your heart not be troubled. Abide in me. And let my words abide in you. And we shall be one, saith the Lord. Lift your hands and worship God. They're singing. We're opening the altar. If you'd like to come, if you'd like to pray.
Storm threatens your bed.